The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I'm going to read the entire 12 verses, so you'll have to indulge me for just a moment. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. It reads, says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, before you take your seats, and just before we present the subject, I want to just say this to you. Generally, whenever this passage is looked at and preached, usually around this time of year, around the Christmas season, typically it is shared focusing on the significance of the gifts of the wise men to Jesus. Amen? But once again, the Holy Spirit has arrested my mind and has challenged me to go below the surface. The Holy Spirit has challenged me to think differently about this familiar passage. So instead of considering the gifts of the Magi to Jesus, we want to consider the gifts from God. Of course, again, before you sit down, God, of course, was the giver of the first Christmas gift, when he gave us his son. The gift of God's son is the greatest gift ever given, but it's the greatest gift at multiple levels. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, I found a wonderful translation in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 14 and 16, and it's in a New Century Version. I want you to see it. It should be on our screen. It says, the Word became a human and lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. Jump down to verse 16, and it says, because he was full of grace and truth, watch this, from him we all received one gift after another. Now, Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. But the Bible says, because he was full of grace and truth, from him we all received one gift after another. Now, I said earlier, I said this to you earlier, I generally when I'm preaching, I'm not an amen preacher, you know, amen. But every now and then, I at least something. I just need somebody to breathe. You know what I'm saying? Just give me an amen, Lord, you know, something. But on this Sunday, I'm going to ask for a little different. So first of all, when I give you the subject, I want you to sit down. I want you to get pen and paper. And I want you to pay attention, because I'm not only going to have you talk to me like preach, you know, King. Mm-mm. But I want to hear you some responses. Amen. For just a little while, we want to consider the subject, considering both passages of Scripture. How God's gift of Jesus is one gift after another. Because we got to figure out how. We know what the Scripture says, but how? You may be seated in the presence of our God. We want to talk about how God's gift of Jesus is one gift after another. Well, of course, you know how it is. We've come through the celebration of feasting and the Thanksgiving holiday. Somebody say amen, amen to that. But as a result of that, the Christmas holiday season has officially begun, and it's in full effect. And as exciting as this time of year typically is, it also means, guess what? Christmas shopping. And for some, Christmas shopping isn't anything that they really want to do. Of course, there are some who are making out that list. But that might mean what? Going to pull out that tree, untangle those lights, fighting the traffic and the crowds at the mall, spending all that money and that credit that y'all know y'all don't have, putting up with unfriendly shoppers, sales clerks, etc. It's that time of year, and that's some folk, that's not always a time of good cheer. As a matter of fact, the story is told of two men whose families live next door to each other who opted to go sailing while their wives went Christmas shopping. Not long after they had begun sailing, an unexpected storm surprised the two of them, and soon the sea began to rage, and the two had a difficult time keeping the sailboat under control. So while heading toward the harbor, the craft actually hit a sandbar and it grounded. Both men at that point, they jumped out overboard into the icy waters and began to push and shove and attempt to get the sailboat into some deeper water. Waist deep in mud and repeatedly being bounced against the hull by some unfriendly waves, the one then said to the other, he said, "Well, sure beats Christmas shopping though, doesn't it?" And that's how some folk feel about Christmas shopping. But so if you already have some anxiety about the Christmas season, especially if some of your past experiences have been stressful and unsatisfying, let's see if we can remedy not only what the true meaning of the season is, but let's see if we can remedy by looking into the good news of the Word of God, bringing back the true Christmas spirit. Do you remember that time when you were a child? Remember when you were a child and Christmas was so exciting because you looked up under the tree and there was not just one present, but several presents, and they all had your name on it. Well, the Bible wants to present us with a gift from God that has one gift after another, and guess what? Each one have your name on it. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 that we just read, there were three things that the Holy Spirit enlightened me, and so I wanted all of us to be enlightened. So you can write them down. I believe they'll be on your screen. First of all, there'll be three things I want to show from this passage. First of all, what is the gift that becomes one gift after another that we're going to search these scriptures? Number one, that Jesus is the gift of worship. Jesus is the gift of worship. The second thing we're going to pull from this passage is that Jesus is the gift of witness. And the third thing we're going to pull from this text is that Jesus is the gift of wholeness. Now I ask the Holy Ghost to not only stand in me, but through me to teach. Jesus is the gift of worship. Jesus is the gift of witness. Jesus is the gift of wholeness. So let's look at that first one. Jesus is the gift of worship. So now here's some of the interaction. When you all hear the word worship, What comes to mind? What do you think of? Let me hear. When you hear the word worship, what do you think of? Bowing down. Praise, honor, holding up your hands. When you hear the word worship, what do you think of? I didn't hear. Praises, thankfulness. Anything else? Worthiness. Okay. All right. All right. So think about what you said and think about our understanding, all right, and think about the passage. Because I said Jesus is the gift of worship. Through Jesus, God has given us this wonderful gift of having fellowship with him. Amen? We are all able to truly come into the presence of God and worship him. Why? But because of Jesus becoming what the Bible says, God in the flesh at that first Christmas. Watch the text. Go back to Matthew now. The wise men were seeking to worship, and God gave them the opportunity in Christ. Matthew 2:2 says, they ask, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? It says, we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. The wise men seeking Jesus made no bones about their purpose in making their arduous journey. They were overjoyed to get to present to Jesus gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now here's the deepness of the teaching. Giving stuff to God is a vital part of worship. So I heard some of your responses. We give God our bodies. We give God our abilities. We give God our time, our resources, our praise, etc., etc. And of course, you look at the gifts that the wise men gave. The gifts that the wise men brought were practically insightful. See, they had some thought into it. Think about it. God, gold represented what? Gold represented a good fit for a king. Frankincense represented Christ's priesthood, since it was a specific incense used by the Jewish priests in the temple. Myrrh foretold of Christ's place as our Savior, since it was often used as a burial ointment. Watch the text. They had come to worship the newborn king who would also be our high priest and Savior. So again, if you're like me, you got to be thinking, okay, I hear you, I'm following the teaching, but how do you ascribe worship as a gift from God? Isn't worship a gift we give to God? Huh? Come on, somebody, I need your thinking caps on. Isn't it a worship that we give to God? Well, the answer is, it's actually both. Okay? Now, of course, we know that it's a gift that we give to God. We may bow down. Those are all acts. Those are all different things. So how is worship a gift from God? How is it part of God's gift through Jesus? Well, here's the simplest answer if you take a note. Because if it weren't for Jesus, we couldn't even come into God's presence to worship. See, there's a lot of mimicking that goes on sometimes in the house of God. There's a whole lot of standing and sitting and raising of the hands and putting down of the hands, but not all the time do people understand who it is that we are worshiping or why it is that we have the ability and the opportunity to worship. If you're taking notes, write this down. There is no true worship of God apart from Jesus. God was letting us know by the gift of his son, watch this, that we could now enjoy a personal relationship with him that would not be possible without Jesus. Jesus was the only one qualified to be our king, our high priest, and our savior. Hebrews 4:14-16, it says this: "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Listen, because of Jesus, we have access to God. Worship all of the stuff that we said, everything that you said. So this ought to change even the next time we come into service. Worship, watch this, is a natural response to God's love. It's not a response to somebody saying, clap your hands. It's not a response to somebody saying, pat your feet. It's a response to God's love. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. We don't have to worship. We get to worship. We don't have to worship, but if you know where worship came from, we get to worship. It's the gift that has been given to us by God Himself. That's why we ought not take that gift of worship lightly. We get to worship God in his gracious nature, deciding to let us participate in a personal relationship with Him. He doesn't need our praise. He said He could make the rocks cry out. But he wants a personal relationship with His creation, who is you and I. So here's all I want to say to us, my brothers and sisters. Every day, we should unwrap this gift of worship. Don't just wait until Sunday, and don't just wait until your prime has been pumped or until you've been urged. Matter of fact, don't just wait for Christmas. Worship is a great gift of God through Christ Jesus, but we must receive it in order for it to enrich our lives. Jesus is the gift of worship. So what's the second gift that we can find from this passage? Second thing is that Jesus is the gift of witness. So when I use the word witness, what comes to mind? Let me hear. When you hear the word witness, what does witness mean? I've seen something. Let me hear. Sharing your truth. Testify. Verification. Confirmation. Action. Give me a couple more. Proclaim it. So if you say you are a witness of who? Then what happens? Come on. Verify. See, I didn't ask what it's to mean to be a witness, and y'all look like y'all don't understand. I'm not talking in the Greek. What does it mean to be a witness? Experience. All right. Missionary. Okay, good. Keep all that in mind. That's the challenge on this Sunday. See, when I use the word witness, we think of our place as Christ's followers to be witnesses, like you all have said, to the world of the good news about Jesus. Of course, our witness is from experience. Our witness is from the authenticity or the verification of our experience and our relationship and all of those deals. But has it ever occurred to you that God was actually the first witness of the good news? Teach, Holy Ghost. God Almighty. Has it ever occurred to you? Matter of fact, before I build on this text, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. It might not be up there. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We use the word witness in church, and I'm not even sure we really understand the full meaning of what it means to be a witness for Christ. But yet at the same time, we got to understand how the gift of even being a witness came to us. Because God himself was the first witness of the good news. And so to even truly get the full pleasure of understanding the richness of Matthew 2, because his story, the story of God's witness to the wise men, was enlightening to me, and we'll open it up. But in Luke 2, look, it's just, I'm going to do a drive-by. God had already witnessed to Mary and Joseph, right? He would witness to the shepherds. He witnessed to Simeon at the temple and witnessed to Anna when Joseph and Mary took Christ there for his consecration as a firstborn son. That's all in Luke chapter 2. But go back to Matthew now, because the witness to the wise men was unique. Why? Because they were non-Jews. I heard y'all talking about that in Sunday school, about all of that for communion and all this. But the wise men were non-Jews. As a matter of fact, they were astrologers. Now, there are some who try to use this passage to show and prove that God was showing his approval for astrology. Come on, somebody. By leading the Eastern seekers to Christ by using a star. So some, if you're not careful on your teaching, they'll have you buying all kind of astrology books. What's your name? What's your sign? Come on, somebody. My bag, I done slipped into a little rap. That's my. But what I'm saying is, if you're not careful, you'll think that God approved astrology, when that's not the case at all. Here's the teaching. What God was doing, in keeping with the rest of his word, was showing us that the good news about Jesus is not limited to people who've only been brought up in Christian households who have church backgrounds. Regardless of who you are and the fact that you say you've been in church all your life, God still had to find you, even if he had to find you in church. God is willing to find people where they are, regardless of how they start out or how they were raised. These men didn't have to become proselytes to the Jewish religion in order to have a personal relationship with God, not now that Jesus has come. Come on, somebody. So as much as we love our church and as much as we love our denomination, I hate to burst your bubble, but people don't have to become Baptists or Lutheran or Methodist or Presbyterian. Oh, and I couldn't come up because there's so many churches, because you got Church of Christ, then you got Church of God, then you got Church of God in Christ, etc., etc. But they don't have to become all those things to know who God is. They simply have to come to Christ by faith, just as the wise men did. Astrology. Certainly, if you're taking notes, tell somebody, not a successful way to try to reach God. These men were not reaching God through astrology. They were reaching God through worshiping Jesus. God just wanted it to be known that worshiping Christ is not a closed system. God will always, always, always. That's why we got to be careful turning our nose up at folk. Bring that thing down. God will always, watch this, help people find him who are sincerely interested in doing so. Hebrews 11 and 6, the Amplified Version says, but without faith, it's impossible to please and to be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Here's a question that I ask unto the Holy Spirit, and this ain't up on the screen, but I want you to write it down because I want you to go deeper in the text when you have time. Why did the wise man see and follow the star when others didn't? That's a good question. See, we get frustrated sometimes because not everybody sees things the way we see them. But we got to make sure our vision is right. Why did they see and follow the star when others didn't? Simplest answer I came up with was simply because they were searching for God. They were actually far more sincere. You got to watch the text. They were more sincere in their search than the religious leaders were who were in Jerusalem. So here's a challenge to us, and it's hit me in the year 2017. As we go into 2018, John, it hit me that I contend that sometimes we struggle with why some of our churches are not filling up. And a portion of that response could be apostasy. And so that's what we hang our hats on. It's apostasy. And I get it. There is a portion that's falling away, that's turning away. I get it. But the struggle is we want to know, well, how can we attract more people? I'm saying we universally. How can we attract more people? And so we get secular in a sense because we think music. We think style of worship. We think the time of the start. We think how long we keep church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Felicia, it hit me when I was studying this text that in these days and times, as crazy as these days and times are, there are people who are seeking to attend church and or churches in search of God more so than they are in search of religion or religiosity. So we got some folk looking for God, but all sometimes we're handing folk is religion and religiosity. The Bible says that they were in a place and there were those that were religious leaders who didn't even follow the star. And they did not because they were any bigger or greater, but because simply they were seeking God, which brings me to the final point of today's message. Quick look, one more thing. One more gift that God gave us that first Christmas, a gift that continues today. Yes, Jesus is not only the gift of worship, he's not only the gift of witness, but Jesus is the gift of wholeness. Now, once again, I'm going to ask you, when you hear the word whole, what comes to mind? Complete, entire, finish, all, anything else? Full, okay, and now those are good. So when you hear the word wholeness, you hear all of those words that you guys gave. Good words. Refers to the state of being complete, somebody said that, entire and unbroken. Jesus himself used this concept when he ministered on earth. The Bible says in Mark 6 and 56, as many as touched him being Jesus, was made whole. John chapter 5, verse 6, you might want to write this one down. In John chapter 5, verse 6, he asked the lame man, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I want you to write this down. Not only is that question in John 5 and 6, but it's in verse 9, verse 11, verse 14 and verse 15. This idea of being made whole. So, of course, I'm asking you the same way I asked the Holy Spirit, Bell. So I hear you with the point, God, that you want me to make and that you're making to me. But where is the idea of wholeness in the story of the wise men visiting Jesus? God Almighty, I'm pushing you deeper the way I had to get pushed. Where is the concept or the idea of wholeness in the story of the wise men visiting Jesus? Well, go back to Matthew 2 and look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. That's the NIV. I believe the King James Version, they probably both up there side by side. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. NIV says they were overjoyed. King James says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Quick side note. So when I'm doing my word study, I have to go to the King James, New King James, or Newly Revised Standard Version. Can't do a word study in NIV. Nice translation. Can't go deeper. So I had to pull the King James out, and I had to break down to rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? That would be a reaction. Jump up and spin around, I heard. What does it mean to rejoice, huh? Extremely happy. Praise. Okay. Just, I want you to walk through the text. So to rejoice simply means to be cheerful, happy, or well off. It says when they saw the star, they rejoiced. That means they were cheerful, happy, or well off. But it wasn't just a rejoice. The Bible says with exceeding. What is exceeding? Who? Overwhelming. Overwhelming. What's exceeding? It means to a high degree. All right. So it's going to be above just your general rejoicing. It's got to be a little bit faster than that. High degree. But then wait a minute. It says exceeding great. So what is great? Vast, big, large. Then it says joy, of course, which is to light, delight, or gladness. Here's how you put it together. Going back to Matthew, going back to this text, the lives of these wise men had been given true purpose. See, when they saw the star, they realized, number one, that they weren't late. They realized they weren't late. That was a nugget. Jesus the King was still there. They went looking for him. When they saw him, they were excited. They would get to worship him because of God's witness to them through the star. So here's the teaching. These men went home whole, or they went home happy, or they went home with exceeding great joy because they had and worship God's Son, Jesus. You ought not leave here the same way you came in. That is, if you got to meet and be in the presence of God. Now, you can walk away. You can be in the presence of Jesus and walk away unchanged as the rich young ruler. Amen. You can get a healing from Jesus and not come back and say thank you. Act the 9 of 10 lepers. But when you get into the presence of God, when you know who Jesus is, not just that you went to church, not that you know your denomination, not that you know who your pastor is, but you got to know who Jesus is. Then you can have exceeding great joy. They went home whole and happy men because they had met and worshiped God's Son. Here's what's amazing. You're going to always find this in your life. They are exceeding and happy, but guess who isn't? Herod. Herod wasn't whole or happy. But it wasn't just Herod, neither were the religious leaders in Jerusalem. There's going to be some folk who won't understand your relationship because they super religious. Don't you ever let anybody that say that it don't take all that. They say, you, if you knew my story, if you knew what I have come through, if you knew that I recognize that it wasn't me that has been keeping me, that it wasn't me that has brought me over, brought me out, and brought me through. If you knew that I understood that God didn't have to wake me up, that I'm grateful for the stuff he didn't have to do. That yes, in 2017, I'm thankful for some stuff I never thought I would have to be thankful for. That's when you get to exceeding great joy when they saw the star. Our worship, our witness, our wholeness depends on whether or not we have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. See, I'm not so interested in whether or not you foaming at the mouth when you leave church. I'm not that interested in that. I'm not so interested in whether or not you run laps. Because you can run a lap and be tired, twerk and jerk in the Holy Spirit. And still not have a relationship with Christ. That's what I'm concerned about, because I don't want you leaving here on a superficial high. Amen. But the Bible says that our worship, our witness, our wholeness depends on whether or not we have a relationship with God, and not just any way, through his son, Jesus. And that's God's gift. That's God's gift to all of us. The gift of Jesus. And it's the gift that keeps on being a gift one after another. As I get ready to close, you, I want you to hear about some of this gift. First of all, it's a gift. It's one that has been tested throughout the ages. It's a gift that we can remove, that can remove from us that tremendous weight of guilt and sin that rests upon each and every human soul. It's the gift that satisfies the deepest hunger in the human heart, that fills that emptiness and gives us a joy and a peace that even we can't understand. It's a gift that will give us strength when we're weak and when we're hurting. It's a gift that would teach us how to grow and stand strong in a world that's gone mad. It's a gift that will give us the heart to fight for truth and purity. But here's the most uniqueness of the gift. It's a gift that is so totally unique in all the world, for it can only be useful while we're here on earth. But it's a gift that will give you access to eternity in heaven to be with God the Father. Thanks be to our awesome, wonderful, loving, caring, giving, and forgiving God for his gift of Jesus, one gift after another. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.